How's your ankle?
Good.
Ankle leg.
Did you see my cane?
No.
I got a cane. I get some weight off of it, but I got a cane. Check it out.
Is that a goose or a duck? Goose.
It's a goose.
Goose.
I named it. You want to know what its name is?
Gary.
Ryan Goosling.
Oh. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man James Tape Leg Graylian and I talk about the state of the team at the halfway point of the 2016-2017 campaign, how the Montreal Canadiens spoiled a big milestone for Jerome Iginla, our top priorities for the club moving forward, and what we've learned so far this season. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 105 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHB is next. Hey, what's going on, Avs fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He's James Tapeleg Graylian, and I'm Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. Hi, James.
So, how you doing?
How are things?
I'm great. I'm going to step to the mic, my friend. Let's do this thing. You sound, things are good.
You sound excited. Where are you?
So I have a caveat here. I'm in New Orleans.
Okay.
This is a town that, geez, they seem to love their sirens. And so if you hear sirens, like they don't seem to start until about 11 p.m. Yeah. And they go until about 2 a.m. So if you hear sirens, you know why.
Not your fault.
It's New Orleans. They're having a good time.
The Big Easy.
The Big Easy. It's not that easy.
No. I haven't heard it
right now. Yeah. So that's where I am. I'm in New Orleans.
Right on, man.
You, on the other hand, are in Denver, Colorado, and you went to a certain hockey game today.
I went to Pepsi Center. Pepsi Center Hockey Stadium, if you will.
A little 1 o'clock game action.
Watched a little matinee. The afternoon games are always fun. Pretty good crowd on hand, but it was the first 2-goal lead the Avalanche had since December 11th. So that's one thing. So as I was doing, you know, kind of doing the math, I guess you need math to figure that out in calendars and so forth. Cody McLeod scores, so that stat didn't really matter anymore. But not a lot.
I mean, you're kind of burying the lead a little bit here. But you were at the first game of Cody McLeod's career as somebody other than an Avalanche.
It was weird. It was really.
I bet it was.
It was really strange. You don't see many trades like that where the team you get traded to is actually in town.
We're gonna get into that in a little bit. We got a few other things we want to get to, but that obviously that's the big story
right now. That's correct.
Everything else about the Avalanche right now, not so big.
There's nothing big about anything that's going on right now.
No, but okay. So I'm gonna be like the awful segue guy here, and let's talk about a big thing. The big 2005 draft for the Avalanche.
Huge draft for the Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club.
Oh, that was the worst transition ever, isn't
well,
it?
Well, this is isn't episode it? Number 105 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. So we're going to talk about the 2005 Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club draft. Mm-hmm. And James is going to mention a couple notables, maybe not notable guys. And this is what we do.
Actually, kind of a big deal of a draft because, I mean, the first guy that the Avalanche took was Ryan Stoa. Okay. Now, Ryan Stoa didn't do not so hot. He came up a little bit. He was a big guy. He was a tall guy.
He was.
But he never really got that physical thing going. He never really achieved what he thought. And 10 picks later, the Avalanche take Paul Stastny, which
Stoa was like a second round pick?
Or was Ryan Stoa was a second round pick, 34th overall.
What?
Yeah. And he was picked ahead of Paul Stastny.
I think, whoa. I think people forget a little bit about, because I'm starting to appreciate drafts like that because the Avalanche haven't had one like that past the first round for a while now. They haven't gotten that good prospect that just comes up and comes through the system, does a great job. Paul Stastny and Ryan O'Reilly were second round picks. Now that's good stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
and that's the end of my sentence. Like that's, I wish there was more. And I've thought about Paul Stastny. I swore I wasn't going to bring him up in the show anymore, but
yeah,
the Avalanche haven't done a really good job of replacing Ryan O'Reilly and Paul Stastny, even with a team of people that they traded for or guys that they brought up. It's led to part of the struggles. So
there's been a little bit of talk recently. We're getting a little off track here, but there was a little talk recently about how the Avalanche really screwed up by not signing, you know, by getting rid of Ryan O'Reilly. And yet it's not like the Sabres are doing all that great. And it's not like he's doing all that hot there. No. So, you know, it was, as Matt Duchene said, he was a good teammate on the ice. And it's probably all the non on ice things that made the Avalanche choose to get rid of him. But still,
chemistry, it's a thing. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a thing. Anybody else? Give me a couple more.
Yeah. In the third round is TJ Hensick. And I actually saw TJ Hensick play about a month ago in San Jose. He's playing for the Ontario Reign. So he's in the
Kings.
He's in that Kings system. Another former Avalanche that's in the Kings system who's currently up with them is Peter Budaj.
Still plugging along, those yeah, guys. Yeah. Those guys. Oh,
Budai's doing great. He's pretty much the number one right now because Quick is injured, and he certainly earned it.
They're very hurt.
They're sniffing at that wild card slot. And without Budaj in net, they really would have been hurting. The only other guy worth mentioning really is Kyle Komiski.
Okay, not a bad draft. You're totally right.
Yeah. Now, then the thing with Komiski, of course, was always how great a skater he was. But, you know, he never caught on past the skating. It's like, I wonder if he just didn't have hands. If he, you know what? There was just never quite that fit. He wasn't quite Brett Clark, but he was still just not quite that fit.
It's like that pitcher in baseball that can throw 95 miles an hour, but he has no idea where it's going. So mm-hmm. he just didn't have enough.
Keep in mind,
he was the road.
Kyle Komiski was drafted in the seventh round.
Wow. Yeah, that depth, and the Avs are missing that right now.
But he has a Stanley Cup ring.
Kyle Komiski, yeah, the Blackhawks, right?
Yep.
Kyle Komiski is the Roadrunner. Meep, meep. There it is. All right, thanks.
So there's your draft. The other guys, you know, Tom Fritschi, whose name, you know, sounds familiar, but yeah. And Jason Lynch, kind of a cool name.
Yeah. Not bad.
Justin Mercer. I don't think he played with the Avs. He may have gone else. I think he went elsewhere. So anyways, yeah.
All right.
That was your draft. That was your 2005 draft.
There it is. Don't say we didn't go over some Avalanche history, folks, because we did.
We're going to go over some more in a bit. Mm-hmm. Current standings.
I don't even want to talk about that.
We're going to talk about it for just a brief moment because the Avalanche are last place.
You can't make me talk about that.
They're last place, aka first in line for a number one overall draft pick. They are currently 5 points behind the Arizona Coyotes, which still feels weird to say. Their goal differential is a cellar dwelling -55. Next up is -41 for the Arizona Coyotes and -29 for the New Jersey Devils. They are obviously last in the West, but. Can I make you smile for a moment here, Jay?
You guys should see my face right now. Go ahead.
You have a crink in your puss.
What?
And your face looks weird too.
Nice one. Yeah, keep going. Keep going.
Do you know who is last place in the Eastern Conference right now? Look.
Oh no. I know this.
You just looked.
No,
just
I did not look. I promise.
You looked.
I was looking earlier, and I remember being a little bit surprised by this.
Who is last place in the Eastern Conference?
It's the Detroit Red Wings.
It is.
You made me smile a little bit there.
I know. They've still got 13 more points than the Avalanche.
So you ruined it all. Avalanche having a tough time at home. They're 5-15-1 at home. Mm-hmm. 8-12 on the road. A little more perspective. The Avalanche have played 16 games since our last. Was it 16?
13. 16 games.
16 games since our last show, and they've won. Mm-hmm. They've won three. They're currently averaging. We had just reached the halfway point of the season. They're averaging 2 goals a game. They have 82 goals in 41 games, and there's so much that's going on with this team right now that's just not going to get it done. And we're here to break down a little bit of it for you. And
we're going to break down crying in a moment here, but
there's that. Yes.
I'm actually kind of curious. Let's see how many they were shut out twice. They currently have the most shutouts against in the league with seven. The next is Vancouver Canucks with five. They have been shut out two more times than.
And the Canucks are 29-5, and
which have, nobody expected them to even have
no.
even that many points.
Yeah.
The last I checked, and maybe I may be wrong right now, but every Canadian team except for the Jets is actually in a playoff slot right now. The Jets are just not great.
What a difference a year makes.
Yeah, because last year none of them.
The Jets have 43 points currently. That's more than the Avs, for those of you keeping track at home. Yeah, it's been tough. The Avs having a hard time defensively, having a hard time scoring the hockey puck, and we've all watched. We're kind of here to provide some perspective for you, and we'll kind of see where it goes from there. The individual statistics for the Avs aren't any more impressive than the team, obviously, stuff. I mean, Tyson Berry's a minus 24. And we talked about plus minus and everything like that, but with a goal differential of minus 55, this is what the numbers are going to look like. So,
It actually made me laugh. There are three players on the Avalanche who are not in the minus category. Two of them have played one game, and one of them is Gabriel Bork, who played six games and is even. There is one guy who has played for the Avalanche this year who is positive. That's Samuel Henley. Bring the man up. Sign him now.
Do something, man.
Get him in.
Joe Colburn hasn't had a point since our last show. We could go on and on, we don't need to. You guys have watched it.
Let's talk about something fun and positive, like the Canadiens and the Avalanche playing each other.
Yeah, I mean, right after the Avs win 3-1, we did our last show, and we must have said something in that show that broke them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was just.
Are you blaming us for this?
Sure. Should we take?
Okay.
Okay, we can do that.
I'll take it.
Why not? I mean, got to blame somebody, right? Mm-hmm. So the Avalanche go to Montreal. And I would say that the team has been kind of mentally fragile ever since then. They lose 10-1 that night. Mm-hmm. There was a little fire towards the end of that game. Jerome Iginla gets into it after a hit by one of the Canadian defensemen on Joe Colborne.
Alexi Emelin.
Emelin.
E-M. E-L-I-N, Emelin.
Watching the highlights to that, even like Don Cherry, who loves the physical play, like he would, no one had Emelin's back on this one, and hit him a little bit low, and it was just kind of low, it was uncalled for.
It was like the Rob Blake hip check, except about a foot lower than that. Really didn't need to happen.
In not a cool way.
Yeah.
In a 10-1 game. So it's good to see Iggy go after him. I mean, I don't want to. It's Iggy's
1,500th game, and he gets tossed from the game. How beautiful is that? It kind of reminded me of the only time I ever went to Frozen Fury, and Adam Foote got in a fight just so he could get tossed from the game so he could go early, because it's a preseason game. And he's just like, I'm over this.
I'm done.
I just go?
I'm out of here.
And so he gets in a fight and shoving and gets a misconduct on purpose pretty much to go. And it kind of felt like, okay, you know what? Iginla, 1,500th, he probably would like to forget this one. Yeah. The early trip to the locker room ain't going to kill anybody.
They ruined it. The Canadians ruined hockey history. Thanks a lot.
Oh, they ruined hockey forever.
Thanks a lot, Montreal. Way to go. Yeah. The Avalanche bounce back after that game and win 3-1 against the Maple Leafs. That was good to see. It was good. But overall, physically, as far as, you know, just the talent wise with the Avalanche, there's one thing. It's just mentally, they're having a really tough time right now. And the chemistry between the team and all those things. I mean, like I said, they had the 2-goal lead today and they kind of blew that one. So we're here to talk about some of the reasons behind that a little bit and kind of go into that.
The thing about the Toronto game, so they beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-1, and then they lose to Toronto 6-0 at home.
I was at that one.
A week and a half later.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody pointed out on Twitter that this had happened, a score like that happened before against Toronto at home, and Landeskog said, this will never happen again. And then it literally happened again.
He promised. And I
he made a promise.
I don't appreciate that.
I feel like I've been disrespected. So, and that was right after, that was right after the Avalanche got shut out by the Minnesota Wild 2-0. It's been rough.
It has been. I can't remember.
I wonder if we have any listeners at this point, just because nobody wants to pay any attention whatsoever. Are the Nuggets doing any good?
No. And the Broncos missed the playoffs. So being here in Denver is just hugs all around.
Yeah. I'm gonna look up the Colorado Mammoth while you talk for a moment and see how
they
doing.
Just started. They're up 7-3 in the game I was kind of flipping through, so that's good. But I mean, there's certain times where you keep track of the numbers and it just kind of explains why the team is struggling. You expect them to bounce back and things like that. But it got to the point with this stretch, you know, like I said, they've won 3 games in their last 16. They've won 5 games out of however many they've played at home so far. And then even after a while with that stuff, it's really hard to kind of wrap your head around what exactly is going on with this team. So it started with a move that happened. This is Saturday night that we are recording this, and Cody McLeod gets traded, and a lot of people were thinking, you know, this is the beginning of something bigger, and that's yet to be seen. But an interesting trade.
A lot interesting about this trade.
It was tough to see. Now, I think some people, I guess when you first see McLeod come in, and he was a rookie in 2007-08. He's been around for 10 years now. Some people don't realize that he is the fourth longest tenured Avalanche player in history. He only Milan Hayduk, Joe Sakic, and Adam Foote have played more Avalanche games than Cody McLeod. If you would have told me when he first came in the league that he was going to be around for that long and played, you know, over 630 games for the Avs, I'd just have been like, yeah, there's no way. Nobody ever does that. So there was that. But he's loved around the community. He's loved for the heart he puts into the game. And then he put it on display this afternoon and scores a goal and gets into a fight with Jerome Iginla. But
Not only that, he was also undrafted. Yeah. He was never drafted. So the he was pretty much your walk-on, or somebody saw him at some point and decided, yeah, that's the guy that we need for this role.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cool that he stuck around for this long. Joe Sakic was a teammate of his. They played together. So Joe Sakic said he treated this trade like McLeod had a no movement clause. He talked to him through the whole thing, and you know, he wanted to get McLeod's approval. McLeod has a chance to go join a winner, even though, you know, it is within the division, and that's an interesting part. The Avalanche hold on to 40% of his salary too. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, a lot, that really angered some people around here, is that they're holding on to a bunch of his salary. I don't the in division didn't come up as often, but people are a little upset about that.
I think the in division is actually a little weirder than the cap space, because the cap space is going to peel off in another year. It's not really that much money. It's like $600,000.
Right.
So it's not that much money. And, you know, since we don't have a great source for salary information, just to keep that in perspective, this is the last year of Brad Stewart's contract being on the books.
Wow.
$3.6 million. So that's a little more interesting. Yeah. So, and the other problem, the other thing with this is that the Avs right now, according to NHLnumbers.com, which is pretty much the source I use, because it's really easy to read.
Sure.
And I like easy reading. They have 1.07 million in cap space. They don't need it this year. They just don't need it this year.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they're going to be buyers.
Well, we're going to.
There's no reason.
Yeah. And they needed some room, I think, to bring some guys. They just needed some space. And you want to move somebody for the right reasons. They weren't looking for a big return, which, when you are where you are in the standings, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get a return. People aren't going to help you out. You don't have much to offer. Based on the numbers, at least
not until we hit the trade deadline, when people really see what their needs are, what they want to put in, and when the salary really doesn't matter as much. Yeah. So you can send a high paid guy away to a team that has very little cap space, and they're not going to, it's not going to eat up their cap space like it would now.
That's true.
So yeah,
they also
there's a you're only allowed a 23 man roster. So with Matt Nieto coming in to the Avalanche, there's only so much, you know, there's only so much maneuvering they can do. And of course, Eric Johnson's going to come back at some point. So
Sakic did mention that EJ will be their 23rd guy on the roster. So I think a lot of people have been looking for a little flexibility with this team, but the Avalanche were near the cap ceiling before they were I think about 600,
which is surprising.
It's kind of cool in a way, but it also kind of limits your options when you're struggling the way the Avalanche are. So mm-hmm. One theory I've come up with, and I'll get to this just a teeny bit more later, but the Avs may have put a little bit too much money into too few players, and they've had a hard time replacing that depth. The depth is an issue.
I want to
right
talk
now.
To you a little bit about that when we get to that. I mean, this move really, I mean, first off, it's not that surprising considering how the season started with Cody McLeod. Not, you know, he was a healthy scratch a lot. Obviously, Jared Bednar didn't see a lot of need for his type of player.
Yeah.
And the league is slowly phasing out that kind of player. You have to be able to score if you're going to have that kind of role. And he just hasn't been. Of course, today, you know, against the Avalanche, he scores. He kind of gets his little revenge in a little bit. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hard guy not to root for. Everybody loves him here. Everybody wishes him the best. And mm-hmm. I think Nashville got a pretty good, for the fans that don't watch him game in and game out, Nashville got a pretty good feel for what that guy is going to do pretty much every game. So everybody hopes he does well. It's also within the division. It's not as important when the Avs are so far out of it as they are right now. And so Sakic did say he wants to give the guy a chance to go play for a winner and have a shot, because he's gotten to the second round of the playoffs, I think, within the last 10 years, but that's about it. So, mm-hmm. so there's a lot of dynamics, a lot of moving parts here. And
we're probably going to see that happen again and again in the next several months. You know, I mean, we're probably going to see it with Iginla, where I wouldn't be surprised if we see it with either, Soderberg.
My guess, if they're going to move somebody huge, I think it might be Matt Duchene. And it's not like I want to see that happen. It's not like I'd be necessarily happy, but the thing is, it's like, I don't think you want to blow up this whole core just for a short term fix to make everybody happy, just to mm-hmm. prove that you're not happy with the way they're playing. I mean, this is a long term thing that we're dealing with right now, and I think you got to do your best to try and build things up to move forward so you can get out of this. So there's that too. So, the second period fight with Jerome Iginla, nice video tribute by the Avalanche, of course, as well. So. Nothing but the best of Cody Mack. He had a great career here, and I hope he does well in Nashville.
You were at the game, so you didn't hear this. They were, I think it was McNabb was talking on the broadcast today about how when LaPerriere went away, and he played against the Avalanche and challenged McLeod to a fight, and McLeod said no and kind of regretted it. And the reason being that that he regretted it was because it was Lappy's opportunity to say to his new team, "See, I'm not with that anymore. This is, you know, I'm committed to you guys." And so this was kind of Cody Mack's, you know, version of that. His being able to say to the team, "See, I fight for you now."
I tweeted it this morning, and I don't think I wanted it to happen, but I wasn't surprised that it happened at all. It was just a matter of who's he going to fight with, because the Avalanche have very few guys that can hang with him. My short list was Landeskog or Iginla. Right when I walked in, the pregame skate was going on, and both Cody Mack and Landy were on the far side from where I sit, stretching with the red line between them, and they were catching up. So he's well-loved. Everybody, you know, from the team, from the fans to everybody in between, really loves that guy, and he's going to bring a lot of good things to Nashville. And like I said, I hope he does well, and he's going to be missed. It'll be interesting to see the team dynamic without him. But this is definitely not the last move. I'm just hoping the Avs make the right move so they can continue to, I don't know, try to work out of this and get better. So, So good luck. Good luck, 55. What's next, sir? What do we want
to, you kind of wanted to talk about a little bit about, what you've learned through this stretch of games. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing to jump off. I'd like to hear what you have to say. What you feel like you've really learned about the Avs
I just came up with a little short list. Usually this is stats. If they're having a tough stretch of maybe 10 games, I'll throw some stats out there and say, hey, this is why they're struggling. But it's a little bit bigger than that. One is EJ. I think this has proven his worth to the team on the offensive and defensive end. I would like to add him to my untouchables for trades. How's that? Sounds cleaner that way. But I think
I'm mildly creeped out. which is kind of weird. Me too. I'm usually on the other side of that.
Me too.
Especially with this facial hair that I got going on.
I think it's impressive.
Thank you.
Last show, I didn't have him on that short list. I had, I think it was Landeskog and McKinnon. If the Avalanche trade Eric Johnson and get somebody not as good in return, they're going to get way worse, and that scares me. So, you know, with watching Boschman, Barry, Zadorov play as much as they have and a little bit more, Boschman scored today, and that probably felt great to him, but he has had...
That was his first of the season.
I don't know what's... I hope he's okay. I don't know whether he's hurt or whether he's just getting older. Or he's definitely lost
bad right now.
He's definitely lost confidence in it. And I don't want to come on the show. You and I don't come on the show and slam players and just say they're terrible, but he and like Fedor Tutin, they've had a really, really tough time. Boschman was much better last year, but he was also paired with EJ a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really interesting to have EJ come back and see what this does for the team. I'm not saying EJ's going to come back and save the season, but Boschman's had a really, really hard time lately, and that's just not what this team can afford with the injuries that they've had, especially with EJ. So that was one mid-level guy fall off. So we've got Soderberg, Aginla, Colborne's not a fall off, but he's had 1 point since October 20th, I believe. Mitchell, McLeod's now off that list, and Tutin. I mean, you look down the list at the plus minus numbers, and that says a story as well. So guys that needed to at least maintain where they were last year, or guys that came in new that needed to pick up some slack from the guys that were let go, like a Nick Holden. Like, we're missing Nick Holden right now, I think.
Yeah, that's a weird feeling.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like 3 years ago, if you told me that Nick Holden was gone, I would have been, you know, like, oh, sounds good to me.
All right.
What did we get for him? Hopefully, what did we get? Did we get a cheetah with only two legs? Because that would still be better than. But, you know, then he started to really turn his game around.
And, somebody had asked me late. Well, it was actually yesterday. Kind of miss Nick Holden. Nick Holden has 8 goals this year. Tyson Barry has 3. How's that for a perspective?
Really? So,
yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Mikko Rantanen is who he is. He's a rookie. He's 19 years old. I think in the future he's going to be he'll be all right. But, you know, people got really excited watching the World Cup of Hockey and watching Tyson Joe score a couple goals. But it's a very different game between the World Juniors and between the AHL. And these are two young guys that have come in and played pretty well in those positions. But I don't know if they're going to be able to save the franchise, at least where they are right now. So there's that. I already talked about investing a few too many dollars in too few guys. And I don't know. Overall, the word that I've come up with through this is I'm just humbled. It's humbling for these players. It's humbling for the fans because this is not what we're used to as Avalanche fans. I wouldn't say we're used to the playoffs every year lately either, but those of us that have been around for a while, I'm just wondering, is this kind of the end of the tradition here, the winning tradition?
I think it was. I think it was a couple of years ago. It just was that there was a little more hope and a little more... I just feel like the Avs had a little more chance than they do. I'm kind of surprised that on your, I don't know if it's because he's not a mid-level guy per se, but Martinson, isn't on your list. And I'm still trying to understand that he's the one guy on the roster that I really don't understand what his point is.
Yeah.
He's a bigger guy, but what is he? One goal. Two assists.
He's on a long list of guys that were better than last year than they are this year, and I don't know what to attribute all that to. Goal scoring is down as a whole. Just the numbers. I mean, Matt Duchene is on pace to score 25 goals this season. Nathan MacKinnon on pace for 22. Rene Bork, I can't remember when his last goal is, but he's third on the team with 9 goals.
Landeskog has 8.
Yeah, he scored his 8th today, so he's on track, although he missed 10 games because of the lower body stuff that he was dealing with. I mean, he's on pace to score 16 goals. The team's not scoring, the defense is struggling, and Farley and Pickard can't win every game by themselves. And that's pretty much the end of the story.
Yeah, Pickard had a was run pretty hard. They rode him as hard as they could, and he obviously needed a break when Varley came back.
Yeah.
And obviously Varley isn't the most resilient. His groin, it can be an issue.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Varley's been looking, he looked pretty good today. He gave up a few goals and, you know, hopefully three goals won't beat you every single night. But, so let's put this in perspective. The Avalanche numbers wise are averaging exactly two goals per game. Calvin Pickard's goals against is 3.06 and Semyon Varlamov's goals against is 3.31. I'm not a math major, but that's not going to work.
No.
But I have no idea, and maybe we can figure this out through the year. How do you fix it?
I got somebody tweeted at me, a guy I played hockey with in Minnesota, Joe, who kind of gets a little bit of a shout out, but more a little bit of a shutdown. He tweeted at me when the Wild had won 12 games in a row. He tweeted at me, "Yeah, the Avs have won 12 games all season." I'm like, you know what? I don't play for the Avs. Don't make me cry.
You do me a favor and you leave me alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know, man. And I think
I scored four goals on him in net when
that's right.
One time.
Did you remind him that?
Glove.
Yeah.
No, but I'm going to.
You've got that in your pocket just in case you need it. And just keep bringing it up.
Here's my frustration with this team right now. I mean, aside from the obvious, is that this is a team where you and I have been saying several times, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the problem is. Part of the reason we don't know what the problem is because it's a team that works on paper. If you were to look at the makeup of this team, what everybody has been saying was how fast the offense was going to be. You know, the speedy offense with the young guys. You got guys like Soderberg, who was a high scorer at the Bruins. You got a Ginla, veteran presence. You've got two defensemen who are veteran guys who are respected. Mostly Beauchemin. Tuitton also, though, you know, he should be playing more up to speed. Before EJ was injured, there's him and Barry, you know, offensive, you know, more offensive threats on your D line. There, you know, even Mitchell should be playing better than he is. Nobody on this team is playing up to the way that they should be playing and the way that it looks on paper. Great on paper, not so great on the ice.
So I don't know what to attribute that to, because I don't know if it's top to bottom. This team is, you know, if you just put all the, if you just lay them all out, like you said, on paper, top to bottom, this is the worst team in the NHL, because it's not. So it makes me think of chemistry, and it makes me think of a mental toughness aspect to that they're right. really struggling with right now. And I don't know how you get a team out of that, where it's just you could feel it coming on today. Mm-hmm. You could just, right as the third period started, you could just kind of like, everybody wasn't shocked to see the Predators score twice pretty early in the third period. And that was not necessarily the end of the game. And the Avalanche, there was a couple tough calls against them, and it's easy to blame the referees when things aren't going well, but there's a mental toughness, kind of a soft thing about this team, that they're really, really fragile. And between the chemistry and the mental toughness aspect, and probably a combination of those two, and they're having a really tough time right now. And it's something that we have never seen here in the Mile High City. So mm-hmm. I don't know. So I have two questions for you then. All right. And we can just kind of go back and forth on this. Is it the coach? Do you fire Bednar?
Okay. Number one to me, no, you don't fire Bednar. Okay. He got thrown into a situation that obviously, you know, no one wants with the way that Patrick Waugh left. Number two, firing your coach is, I think the guy has to get another year out of it, at least. He's inexperienced, but they knew that going in. He's inexperienced at this level, though. He's won at every other level.
Right, that's true.
So I'm not thinking it's the coach. The other reason I'm not thinking it's the coach is, let me just read you back the previous four coaches, okay? Patrick Waugh, who made it to the playoffs once. Joe Sacco, nobody's top pick. Tony Granato for a year, and Joel Quenneville. And Quenneville, obviously, you know, has done very well in Chicago. He did okay. He had a win percentage of 5.79. Yeah, okay,
not bad.
But he wound up, you know, getting released or not re-signed. I think he was.
I thought he was fired. He was fired early in the year. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, it's at this point, here's the thing. It's not the coach. You know, if it was the coach, you know, there were, you're going from style to style to style. Okay. The only thing left to do at this point is bring in Tortorella, and nobody wants that.
Who do you,
or Randy Carlisle, or, you know, or guys that are already have jobs and are not player friendly, you know,
who do you replace him with? Do you fire him right now? Like who's going to be better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and so, but then the question, so my answer is no, you,
I don't, you, like I said, I'm trying to like him. I don't think there's anything he hasn't tried. Great point. I forgot that he had been so successful everywhere where he's been. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. It's not going to help. Any move that I want the Avalanche to make right now, whether it's coaching wise or whether it's player wise, I want them to get better. I don't think replacing him with whoever the best person is out there makes it any better. It just leads to more turmoil and more moving parts, which the Avalanche and the organization definitely don't need. So I say
basically
no.
The next guy that has to fix the people that are there right now.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily, you know, and I think it's more about the people that are there right now than it is about him.
That's right. So, yeah. So also as we approach the March trade deadline, you know, what do you do as the Avs? Do you fix them right now? Like, what do you make a couple big moves hoping later that they work out? Like what do? We've talked about this last show. We'll keep talking about it. Do you blow up the core and start over in the middle of a season? I mean, where do you move forward from here? So is it worth fixing right now, or are you still looking towards the future?
I think that right now, my number one goal is to get that first overall draft pick. You know, I hate to say it, in part because I don't want this team to turn into the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah. But at the same time, look at what the Edmonton Oilers did. They've traded away two number one overall draft picks, and it's working out for them. Part of the reason it's working out for them is because they got a guy like Connor McDavid, who's just phenomenal.
That helps a little bit.
A lot. Yeah. And then they also got management in that could build around him. They got a coach in that to kind of hit the reset button on the coaching situation, because Dallas Eakins wasn't going to go anywhere with them. Todd McClellan's much, much better in that seat. So for the Avalanche, I say there's no reason to fix them this season. They're not going to go to the playoffs. No. End of story. They're just not. They're so far behind. You don't dig yourself out of last place into a playoff slot. And even if they did, how far would they go? What would be the point?
No. Okay, how about thoughts? Now the relationship with Patrick Waugh and Joe Sakic are very complicated here because of who they were as players. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You know, we don't know a lot of the background stuff.
No, and there's stuff that we shouldn't know about. A lot of speculation. Yeah, and there's a lot of rumors going around the, you know, and we try, I stay as far as I can away from those, from what I've heard, besides the specific type things that anybody can throw out there and say, hey, guys, this was the move, but I guess the asking price is high for the Duchesnes, McKinnons, Landeskogs, for all those guys. Mm-hmm. I like hearing that. I like hearing that they don't just want to move somebody just for the change, the sake of change, and call that improvement. So I like that they're still willing to invest confidence into the guys that deserve that confidence. I feel they deserve that confidence for the good of the team down the road. Because, I mean, again, I think there's a lot of people calling for a lot of different moves, but what does that mean next year and the year after? So, right. So what about Joe Sakic? Is it time for him to move on? And what are your thoughts there? Even though it's really complicated, because this city, including myself, we love Joe Sakic. I mean, but he's had a hard time as a GM.
Well, and people loved Patrick Waugh, and yet as soon as he was gone, people understood why he needed to go, that it wasn't working out, and people just thought immediately, okay, the team's going to be better off without Patrick Waugh, and it's unfortunate, but you know. The honest truth is probably he's not getting the success that, let's say, a Steve Yzerman is getting. But at the same time, Steve Yzerman had his issues in Tampa.
True.
You know, he had he pissed off Marty St. Louis. He was darn close to losing Steven Stamkos. he inherited some good stuff with that team that worked out pretty well, but he's had a lot more success than, you know, Sakic has in this position. And Sakic inherited a few negatives. He inherited some positives. I think that at some point Sakic's going to have to step down and step aside. This is not the Pierre Lacroix team anymore. And it can't be run like Pierre Lacroix ran things.
It's been tough because you get excited when they invest in the best young players that the Avalanche have, and they give them the long-term deals, so you know they're going to be here for a while. And then I hadn't even thought about it until I started thinking about the depth and maybe the lack of depth that they're able to provide when they sign the McKinnons and the Duchesnes and the EJs and the Landeskogs to those long-term deals and even Varley's in there as well. So, I wonder who else they would have gotten.
The team that's kind of modeled after in a way though is, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah. The Penguins are the same way with Crosby, Malkin, Letang. They've got two goalies right now that you wouldn't want to give up on. Yeah. And on down the line. And so, they had to do the same thing. And of course, the other team that you could say that about is Chicago Blackhawks.
Absolutely. That's who I was just going to bring up. Yeah. They overspend and they have to move people.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that it's those middling guys though, that are the problem with that sort of thing right now. They have they threw too much money at the middle guys. Here's my thing. I don't want to see Duchesne go. No. And yet he's the guy that looks the most probable to go. I would think that the one that people would want the most would be Landeskog as far as the availables.
Yeah.
I sometimes wonder if this team ever looked at Duchesne and said, yeah, you really are part of the core. He never got an A on his sweater except until now. Yeah.
Yeah. He trades off from McKinnon. Yeah.
Exactly. Again, you know, I mean, they take away Cody McLeod's A, and then they just start swapping. Yeah. I kind of feel like he was just never quite given. Maybe there was a maturity thing. I don't know what it is, but that he was just never quite thought of in that light.
There's a lot of layers to that one, I believe, as well. I think we've seen it throughout the years, and maturity is one word that has come up. Leadership is another. I think this team has some leaders on it. Duchesne is more than willing to talk to the press and say what needs to be said, but his voice and what comes across with it is nothing like when you hear Landeskog speak and things like that. So I don't know whether that has as much to do with the letter on his chest or not, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't Duchesne over EJ, Landeskog, McKinnon. I think off that list of four guys, I think if there was one guy I just kind of have this feeling that Duchesne might be the guy that moves. Would that make me happy? Not necessarily. It would depend on what they can get for him. And I don't know.
The other problem with Sakic right now and what he's asking for is the question is he pricing himself out of the market?
Yeah.
I think that's not going to, I don't think we're going to find out yet, but, what are you going to get back right now? Teams are signing their assets long term. Brent Burns just got locked up. Yeah. No team wants to give up what they need because there's no, thanks to NHL parity, everybody's kind of in it. If they're not in it this year, they got a better shot of being in it next year. No, they're locking up guys. There's not a market out there for the kinds of players that the Avalanche need right now, at least not on defense. And if they're going to do anything, they need to do it in the middle of the lineup.
We've talked about this for years where you have to have a partner. You have to have somebody to dance with when it comes to trades. Mm-hmm. And when you have the leverage that you lack the leverage that the Avalanche need, you can go ahead and trade, but nobody's going to give you a whole lot. Mm-hmm. They're gonna take the best that you have and that's how it is with every trade, but it's especially dynamic when you are last place in the league.
I think if there was one bit of leverage that the Avalanche really could use right now, the one thing that the Avalanche wish that they had, and I wish that they had, that could give them a little more leverage in these trades is is depth in the minors right now, depth in their team. If they had a little bit more depth, they wouldn't need to make a trade per se. They would have a system that they could go to more. Look at what happened with the black or with the Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
You know, that's a team that, you know, they did not do great last year. Their minor league system was doing great. They call them up. Life's going better.
Go get a couple free agents and you're good to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and those aren't out there as much. No, so yeah,
they're not.
Okay. So it is frustrating.
So your number one right now is depth. Yeah.
I would say my number one, if I could fix anything with this
team, say that. Yeah.
This year it would be depth.
Okay. For me, it'd be defense. And I don't know how you fix defense. You're going to have to give up a lot, but without EJ, I think it's become apparent that, there's a lot of work to be done there. But on top of the list of all kinds of other things we brought up. So
I would also, you know, I mean, the other thing I would fix right now is number one goaltender. It's, I mean, it's Varley can't steal him right now. Yeah. And yeah, I will say that the last two games, even though they were both losses, the Avalanche looked a little more organized. They looked like they were coming together better. They didn't look as bad as they have in the past, but still, that's not getting them anywhere right now.
They have a tough time getting the puck out of their zone. It's tough to watch. There you go, folks.
Well, there you go. Yep.
There you go. You're welcome.
Yeah. Welcome to Happy Cheery Land.
You know how we roll, everyone. I mean, it's if there's some good stuff to talk about, we're going to find it. And we try not to pour it on too much because we get a lot of that on television.
Oh, this was a depressing one.
Especially. But there's just, again, sometimes if it's a tough stretch, I'll bring some numbers with me and say, hey, the biggest numbers that we have are some of the stats that we told you guys, and 3 wins in the last 16 games. And that's, you know, averaging 2 goals a game for the first half of the season. It's just not going to work. If they were
10-1 blowout, 2 shutouts in a row.
Yeah. I mean, if they were scoring goals and getting beat that way, that's like, hey, there's stuff to cheer about, but, there's very little. So,
yeah.
So there it is. How about some shout outs? How are you feeling about shout outs here right there?
Shout out to Joe Halford for, reminding me that the Avs had only won 12 games during the Wilds. 12 game, you know, no,
come on.
You know what? Forget that.
Seriously.
Guy. Shout out to my buddy Sandy from Florida, who actually is here in New Orleans at the moment. Just kind of happened. It was very funky.
Cool.
And yeah, there you go. What about you?
Shout out to Vince Talavera. He sold me a set 2 Eric Johnson white jersey from last season. The one, the one that he got into the fight with Jordan Tutu in. Mm. So I'll have a blog post for that up. I finished the Como post. You motivated me with that with the last.
I shamed you into
that's
it.
That's right. So that's up too. So you can check that out on abshockeypodcast.com. And also shout out.
I'm looking forward to that next auction. Yeah. Ooh, I got right. My eye on something.
Yeah, we won't. We won't.
Not going to say what it
we're
is.
We're not going to blow your cover. Yeah, okay. Exactly. I'll let you know when that's up. And also shout out to you. Thanks for filling in for Av Twitter Psychic. I was having my inner body issues, and man, I don't. That might have been the first game in literally years that I just wasn't that excited to. I couldn't watch it. I was that sick. So
it's the way it goes, man.
I appreciate
if you ever
that.
Need it. Just let me know.
Thank you so much.
Don't describe what happened.
No, you're getting on the outside. It's okay. You guys listen to the last show if you want to hear what happened, because I think I jinxed it.
Don't.
It's all right.
Nasty.
James Tapley Graylian is here with the spiel, and this is what we do because Avs Hockey Podcast. Let's do it.
I don't know why you would ever want to find it, but if you wanted to find this podcast, which we show up to more often than the Avalanche show up to games these days, it's at AvsHockeyPodcast.com where there's jerseys. Oh, there's so many jerseys with like names and letters on them and numbers and gigantic numbers. Don't say anything. I'm in the middle of the spiel.
Jerseys are fun.
To do that, and there's links galore, like how to subscribe in iTunes on your Android phone or anything else. If you have a Zune, we can help you out with that. There's links to things like the Facebook page, which Jay runs on Facebook, and then of course he's on Twitter at Avs Podcast and on Instagram occasionally at Avs Podcast. And you can also find out about our handy dandy shirts, our curse word shirts, which Jay is wearing right now. He's wearing his white one, and on him it looks like you could project a movie on it. Like you could watch Rogue One on it or something.
Very clean, very clean.
You can email us at avshockeypodcast@gmail.com. You can call us at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. I'm on the tweeters at Tape Leg. I just put up a post on jerseysandhockeylove.com about the Amarillo Bulls. So I went and saw that. Got another one coming up shortly, and hopefully next weekend I might be up in the upper peninsula of Michigan seeing a few games up there. I think that's about it. We're going to try and come back to you. Well, I mean, you know, within a month. And who knows, maybe the Avs will have won more than three games in that time period.
That'd be nice.
I wouldn't count on it though.
Right, I would sure like more to talk about, more goals, or just somebody or a few guys step up their game and we can have a good time with that. But, I don't know what to tell you, Avs fans. Hang in there. Things will get better. I just simply because they can't get much worse, but this is a tough, this is a tough, tough stretch. And, we'll figure things out and things will get better and our loyalty will be rewarded. That's all I've got. So James, travel safely. Yeah. You're leaving New Orleans pretty soon then?
Yep. Wednesday, hit the road, heading up to Michigan. You're going to be in Detroit for a couple weeks, then Tampa for a couple weeks, and then Providence for a couple
weeks. Home of the last place Eastern Conference team, the National Hockey League.
Yep. Yep. I'm going to remind everybody of that. I'm just going to make a t-shirt.
Don't talk too loud. They're like, who do you root for? It's like, mind your own business. Don't talk to me about that. But
who do you root for? The Amarillo Bulls. Yeah, that's it.
That's my hometown team. Your ankle and leg is feeling better. Good to hear. And you're the man. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
Right on. Thanks. Travel safely.
All right. Talk to you soon.
That's right. All right, everyone. We'll be back in your ear holes pretty soon. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate your loyalty. We appreciate your support. And just keep sharing. Hang in there. We'll hang in there with you. We can, I don't know, experience the season. I was going to say enjoy the season together. We'll experience the season together. So
commiserate.
That's right. So until next time, take care. Let's go Avs. And James and I'll talk to you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.
Well, when I was in the minor leagues playing baseball, I was Skeeter the Heater. I had a fastball of 62 miles an hour. Wow. This was back in 1842, of course, you know, when that was kind of the thing. We had
hey, Skeeter.
You've heard of Tommy John surgery, right? I had Jackie Doe surgery back then. Now, that was in the mid 1800s, and it wasn't as good as then. What they did, you know, now they like repair your tendons and stuff. What they did with me was they just chopped my arm off, because that was the 1800s and mid 1800s. And they barely even had any, what's that stuff they call that makes you all numb and pass out? What's that word?
Anesthesia?
Whiskey. That's what they had. That's what they gave me. I had just got me all hammered and said, here, sign here. And I said, and they say, good enough. And they just lopped it right off. I'll tell you. But after that, really improved my curveball.